We'll get to it, but that's where we're going to be focusing our energies and our efforts. But from that psalm, we have a song that we have in our purple book, and that's what I would like for us to begin with, this particular song. No, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known His faithfulness, Thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Psalm 89 is kind of an unusual psalm in relationship because many of the psalms that dealt with troubles and issues began with the trouble and issue and then ended up with, okay, I understand now, and the God's in control. This one does just the reverse. It starts with, yeah, I understand all about God. And in the middle of it, the psalmist decides, hey, God, what's going on? And he has this real struggle with what he's seeing. And he doesn't really come to a really satisfying conclusion, although he does come to a conclusion. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you thought you knew what it was supposed to be and then it turns out to go terribly wrong somewhere? I mean, in spite of your best efforts, it just doesn't work. In spite of your good intentions, people take offense. Well, welcome to the world of Ethan the Ezraite. He had a rough life. And he shows us in this psalm that one can sing and one can rejoice in God's truth even when the puzzle pieces are not going together. And he's going to tell us how we can do that. And I think that's a valuable lesson for us today, isn't it? To know when we can't see how the puzzle pieces fit together, how is it that I get myself to sing of the glory of God? Hopefully by the end of this lesson, you will be able to join with Ethan, the psalmist, in his very last verse when he says, simply, praise to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. And that sometimes is the best we can do. We're going to look at two attributes of God. We're going to look at God's mercy and God's faithfulness. And we're going to do that very quickly because I'd like to make application. So we're just going to get a flavor because both of these subjects are subjects that could spend quite a bit of time upon. The mercy of God, the Hebrew word is chesed, and it's translated most often as mercy or love or kindness. And there's a wide range, as you see, of these words that show up that describe God's mercy. Let me give you a flavoring of these. God is eternal. Psalm 103:17. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children. It knows no bounds, Psalm 108:4. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. His mercy prolongs life in Lamentations 3:22. And the prophet there says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. It encourages the repentant. Joel 2:13, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abiding in love, and He relents from sending calamity. It forgives sin in Micah 7:18. Who is God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of it, of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. His mercy makes salvation possible. Titus 3 and 5 says, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And that's just a few of the scriptures. Descriptors. You see some of the rest up there. He's described, his mercy is described as great and rich and manifold and tender and abundant and new every day. I love that one. His mercy is new every day. And his mercy is over everything that we have around us. It's all encompassing. So it's no wonder then that as Ethan was considering the mercy of God, he could say, I will sing the mercies of the Lord forever. Because it's an unending task. What God has done and is doing for us. But there is one more that I'd like for us to look at with mercy. And that's from Psalm 118. And it's kind of divided up in a chorus. And your job... And your job is to read the parts that are in quotes. So it's going to be a responsive kind of reading. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Let Israel say.
His love endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron say.
His love endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord say.
His love endures forever.
You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
See, that passage covers all of us, doesn't it? Most of us inside this building. Those of us, there is all, God is good. So I don't care whether you're a believer or not. You just need to know God is good. And his love covers you. But even more than that, we find that we are the spiritual Israel. We are the spirit tribe of Aaron. The heritage of Aaron, the high, we are the priest, and we are those that fear the Lord. And so his mercy, his love is enduring, and it is forever. The other thing that Ethan had talked about was God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. It's most often translated as truth, steady, trust, honesty, faithfulness. And it's described this way. Lamentations 3:23. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In Psalm 89:2. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. That you established your faithfulness in heaven. In Psalm 89:8, O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. In 2 Timothy 2:13, he says, if we are faithless, I lost my spot here. If you are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. In Psalm 36:5, he says, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. In Psalm 119:90, he says, your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. The other thing that's unique about this faithfulness is it's also described to the Messiah. And we pick up several themes about the faithfulness of God in the Messiah. In Isaiah 11, we find that the Messiah is clothed with faithfulness. In Revelation 19, he is described as the faithful one. In Revelation 1, he is the faithful witness. And in Hebrews, the second chapter, he is described as the faithful high priest. Ethan took this idea about the mercy and the faithfulness of God. And he was able to weave together a picture of why he would sing these praises, why he would stand before and declare the glory of God. And so if you have Psalm 89 open, you can follow along as Jason reads for us the first 18 verses of that psalm. Jason?
I will sing the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever and that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exalt in your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel.
Thank you, Jason. Did you catch the majesty of that passage? Can you picture the psalmist standing in the field and just walking around and looking at the glory of what he saw? Can you see the psalmist grabbing a hold of the traditions that had been passed down to him? And the promises of God and the fulfillment time after time after time. Now, this is a psalm written by somebody who didn't just read a book. This is a psalm by somebody who just didn't interview people. This is a psalm by somebody who lived it. He understood the mercy and the faithfulness of God. First-hand knowledge. And yet, as he looks through this, he talks about God's faithfulness from generation to generation in the first four verses, among his own people in verses 5 through 10, in all of creations in 11 through 13, and among the nations in 14 through 18. Notice how I said it's just expanding. The universe is moving out for this man as he look at the faithfulness of God towards David and his family in 19 through 37. And then there's a dramatic change. If you read down through the next verses, it's like it's a whole new psalm. You see, because there have been some pretty dramatic events in Ethan's life that had changed what his thinking, his whole process. He begins to complain about the deplorable condition of the family of David. I mean, there was a promise, and yet the king had been destroyed. The walls had been knocked down. There didn't seem to be any hope. And not only that, he complained about the fact that now he was getting hassled by non-believers. Because they were wagging their head and saying, well, yeah, you got a great God. Look at your city. Look at your kingdom. Look at your family. And so he began to wonder, what is it that's going on? What? Why can't I see this? Where is God in the middle of all this? See, doesn't this sound familiar? I know it's been in times of my life when you're just not sure what the point is. And yet, what we see in this is the lesson for us. Ethan probably suffered with the same thing that you and I suffer with at times. Someone has called it spiritual short-sightedness. And we all have it at some point in our lives. We can't see past our own misery. You see, we understand that we're supposed to be joyous. We understand we're supposed to praise God for all the goodness. We sing those songs of praise. And in everything and in every state, give thanks, the Apostle Paul said. We know that. But then the problems hit. And it's really hard to give thanks in the midst of your problems. And so we start complaining, thinking that's going to help us. And we discover, as Ethan discovered, complaining never brings joy. Never does. And yet, we try it over and over and over again, don't we? But complaining never brings joy. So Ethan decided the answer is simply to praise God. To recognize His glory, His mercy, His faithfulness, and all that's going on. So when we have trouble doing that, we also need to see what's going on. So what can we learn from this psalm as we look at this? Well, first of all, in the middle of our troubles, when we're suffering from spiritual short-sightedness, the first thing we need to do is hold on. Hold on steadfastly to the promises of God. They are there. He is faithful. It's impossible for God to lie. They will come to pass. And it's also impossible to have faith apart from God's promises. If you don't have God's promises, you don't have faith. Because faith is believing in God and what He delivers. Secondly, testify to God's Word. Even in your doubts, even in your non-answered prayers, testify to God's Word, His faithfulness. Confess your own conviction. Sure, I don't understand. Sure, the puzzle piece doesn't fit. But I know God has a plan. I know He does. Because that's His promise. Yeah, but this piece doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. It's okay. God has a plan. Testify to His plan. And be a good complainer. Now that may seem a little off from the rest of them. But listen to what a good complainer is. We are allowed to complain to God. I mean, you can look through the Psalms and you see a lot of psalmists who complain to God. And it's okay, but you need to be a good complainer. And a good complainer is one who is well informed and well aware of what God has said. It's all right to complain as long as you know the Word. See, you can complain about the long time for the promises to come. That's what a good complainer is. Be aware of what's going on. It is our right to draw together God's promises with the necessity to be kept. Moses did that, didn't he, on several occasions. God, I know what You promised, so let's get it done. That's good complaining. In this complaint, we must never accuse God of being unfaithful, though, because God is not. It will come to pass. And when it doesn't fit, when you can't get the pieces in, you just simply pray. This is the area where we struggle. When things don't fit, when we can't connect His promise with the plan that we have in front of us. And quite frankly, this is where we have those who we love who have lost their faith. They can't get past those two spots. And so, when it doesn't fit, return to the Word. Pray. Even if we can't connect the pieces, God can. Notice in this psalm that Ethan was both committed and confused at the same time. And it was okay. Then, pray for a faithful answer. We may plead with God. He welcomes this, and in this psalm, even encourages prayer that look for Him to act according to His promise. There's nothing wrong with that kind of a prayer. God, in 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is nothing that's going to overtake you that's not common to man, but He will with every temptation make a way of escape. And you can't find escape. It's okay to say, God, I'm praying for the way to escape. That's Your promise. I'm hanging on to that promise. Bring the escape on. Help me see it. That's the prayer for a faithful answer. And then when you can do no more and say no more, you sing of your faith in the mercies of the Lord forever, and you declare the truth That's embedded in your heart. That's when you get through. The psalmist said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. It's a great subject. It's powerful. It's beyond you and me. It has strength and conviction. He says, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. This is so important. Grandparents, parents, singles, with my mouth I will make it known to my generations. It is my job to make sure that those under me, younger than me, hear from my mouth that I believe in the faithfulness of God. And that only happens when I declare it. I need to stand up and say, this is what I believe. This is the line that I draw. And they need to know that it's based in the love and the mercy of our God and Father. And finally, in Psalm 40 and 10, he says, I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love or your truth from the great assembly. May we, like Ethan, come to the point that says, great is the Lord. And amen and amen. If you're outside of Christ this day, there is a great God waiting for you. And we have a plan. It's not ours, it's His. But it is a plan of fulfillment. It will bring you peace and joy, and it will bring you heartache and sorrow. It goes both ways. But it has a long-term plan. And God is faithful to bring it all the way to conclusion as you honor and praise Him in that heavenly home. It's there. If we can assist you in any way, we ask you to come forward to these front pews as we stand and as we sing.